Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? And we looked this morning at that calling of those first disciples by Jesus. There are a huge number of TV programs at the minute that try to find the best. So whether it's dancing, Strictly Come Dancing, whether it's the Bake Off, whether it's MasterChef and all those different varieties, whether it's the pottery throwdown, whether it's painting, whether it's the voice, or now even dog grooming with Pooch Perfect. All these things, the contestants are there. They're there to try and do their best because they want to be selected. They want to be the ones that the judges notice. They want to be the ones who are on the team. And so they do their best. And sometimes when we think about following Jesus, we think, yeah, maybe there's that sort of selection process. Maybe there's a strictly come discipleship program that I need to follow. Maybe I need to impress Jesus somehow. Maybe I need to be noticed. Maybe I need to work on my ability so that Jesus will call me to come and to follow him. As Jesus called those first disciples, did he put them through their paces first of all? Did he look at their abilities? Did he see how they would cope when they were under pressure? Was there some sort of program that he put them through, some sort of selection procedure? Well, if you read Mark's Gospel and certainly read through the rest of the Gospels, you'll discover that the people he picked were far from perfect. They were hot-headed. They squabbled together over who was the greatest, who would be the first in the kingdom. They betrayed him. They walked away from him when the going got tough. When he needed them most, they walked away from him. And yet these are the men that Jesus quite deliberately chose. He didn't just choose randomly as he walked along the shore of the lake, because I'm sure there were other fishermen there. But he chose these two sets of brothers quite deliberately. He's not looking for perfect people, which is reassuring, because if Jesus was looking for perfect people then or now, well, he wouldn't find any, because the Bible reminds us that all have fallen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are people around who think, you know what, I can never be good enough to follow Jesus. I can never be good enough to be a Christian. And in that, they're quite right. None of us will ever be good enough to follow Jesus. But thankfully, he doesn't wait for us to come to him. Thankfully, he doesn't wait for us to get everything right in our lives. He comes to us and announces the kingdom of God is near. The coming of Jesus, the coming of Jesus the King, brings the kingdom close to his people. And this is yet another example of grace. God takes the initiative. God reaches out. God takes the first steps. He doesn't wait for people to come to him. He shows them unconditional love. Knows what they're like. Knows their problems. Knows their defects. Knows what they will do. And yet he still chooses them. Still selects them. There is no probationary period to see how you're coping, how you're shaping up. They're simply called to come and to follow. And so Jesus simply says to these two sets of brothers, come and follow me. Jesus later on in the Gospels tells a story of people who are invited to come. They're invited to come to a banquet, and they have all the excuses in the world. I'd love to come to the banquet, but I've just bought a field. I'd love to come to the banquet, but I've just bought a team of oxen, and I really want to go and try them out and see how good they are in the fields. I've just got married. I can't come to the banquet. When Jesus calls these first disciples, Mark, and again in his sort of clipped, matter-of-fact way simply says, at once and without delay, they follow Jesus. None of the excuses. They're not so preoccupied with everything else that they either don't hear the call of Jesus or just don't get round to responding to the call of Jesus at once and without delay. Sometimes we wonder about our calling to follow Jesus and we say, well, what can I do? What abilities do I have? Somebody once said the greatest ability that we have is our availability. These men standing on the shores, two sets of brothers, probably part of a long family tradition of fishing in that area. And it was a big thing for them to leave it for Jesus, to leave behind all of their ambitions, to leave behind all of their dreams for the future, and to follow Jesus, to be available to follow Jesus. I wonder what was going through their minds on that day. I wonder what was going through the minds of their families, their colleagues, as they watched these men simply set down what they were doing and follow Jesus. It challenges me. What am I prepared to leave behind in order that I may follow Jesus and follow Jesus better? What about you? Where you are, the situation that you're in, what are you prepared to set down so that you may hear and follow the call of Jesus to follow him? And the situation in which we live, following Jesus, difficult. Because we find it hard to work out exactly how we do that. And we try to work it out before we follow him, and yet Jesus simply says, follow me. Be obedient. Be available. How will you make yourself available to Jesus this week? How will you make yourself available to serve him? It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to all of us. And the other interesting thing is this. These disciples decided to follow Jesus not so that they could better themselves. They didn't hear Jesus say, come and follow me, and then think, I wonder what's in it for me. I wonder how this will improve me. I wonder how this will look good on my CV. They didn't think about that. They didn't think about themselves, their status, their recognition by others. They didn't think that it might be an easier life. And it's just as well, because as you read through the Gospels, you quickly realize that none of these things happened. Following Jesus was never easy. Following Jesus never gave them any status or recognition. Following Jesus probably didn't help their CV in many ways, and yet they were obedient. They were available to him. They were called not for what they could get out of it, but they were called to follow Jesus, to do that work for God for which they were called, to be fishers of men. And often we get this wrong. Often we think that following Jesus is all about us. It's about how I will look. It's about what I will do. No, it's all about God. Again, that first catechism that, even though most of us can't recite any of the other catechisms in the shorter catechism, we all know that our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Not to feel fulfilled in ourselves necessarily, although there's where our fulfillment is. But to glorify God, enjoy him forever. And so these disciples leave down their ambitions, their dreams, their agenda for their own lives and set off to follow Jesus. Many folks within our congregation are following the Daily Bread Bible readings, and it's been wonderful again to see how those readings, which were set months, maybe most of a year ago, are so relevant to the days in which we live. And this time we're looking at Matthew's gospel and those daily readings. And when Jesus is with his disciples, they ask him, Lord, we've watched you pray, we've heard you pray, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches them, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so they, if you like, the beginning of that prayer, the beginning of following Jesus is praying for God's kingdom to come, for praying for his will to be done, not for my will to be done, for your will to be done, for our will to be done, but for God's will to be done. And that's often a very different thing. The disciples simply got up, but at once and without delay, they followed. Again, later on in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, again, part of our Daily Bread Bible readings, we simply come across this little phrase that says, Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This idea that what's most important is God's will, his kingdom, his righteousness. And then the things that we need will be added as well. It's a challenge to us. And the disciples came to grief time and time again when they forgot that it was about God's will and not theirs. When they began to argue about who would be first in the kingdom, they began to forget that it was about God, his kingdom, his righteousness, and not about them. They became preoccupied with themselves and lost sight of their calling to follow Jesus. It takes us back again to that very simple and yet profound prayer of John the Baptist, which is simply this: He must become greater, Jesus must become greater, I must become less. Simple and yet profound. The call to follow Jesus is the call to that prayer. He becomes greater, I become less. And it needs nothing less than the response of total commitment. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus gives that story in response to a teacher of the law who asks him, Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus comes back and says very quickly, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a picture of total commitment. It's not a giving of one aspect of our lives. It's not a decision that, Lord, you can have our church life. You can have my Sunday best. It's a total commitment. Jesus died for you and rose again for you, not just for your church life, not just for your spiritual life, but for your life, for all of you. And it requires total devotion and response. Not necessarily perfection, because we will none of us be perfect this side of heaven, but it requires that desire to be obedient and faithful as we follow Jesus. What does that mean for you this week? What does it mean for you to be available to God where He has placed you? What will you have to take your eyes off so that you can fix your eyes on Him? In a moment, we're going to sing together a song that simply gives ourselves in dedication. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. What does that look like for you this week? Sometimes it's easy to say the words, but living the words might be a different thing. What does it mean for you and for me to be wholly available as we seek to serve and to follow Jesus? May God give us the grace not only to hear Jesus say, Come and follow me, but the grace to commit ourselves to following him with total devotion. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you love us enough to call us to come and to serve you. And forgive us, Lord, that we would give you parts of our lives, parts of who and what we are, and yet hold on to other parts. Help us to understand what total commitment looks like. Help us to know what it is to be devoted to you in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. Help us especially in these difficult days to know what that looks like, to be committed to Jesus and to you, Lord, and you alone be the glory and the honor. Amen.